Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
The United Kingdom. Human Rights Day, December 10, 2025, marks the 77th anniversary of the United Nations adopting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. The day is commemorated by Falun Dafa practitioners in countless communities to raise awareness of the ongoing persecution of practitioners in China. Practitioners in the UK observe Human Rights Day each year with activities in London's popular Chinatown area to expose the ongoing persecution of Falun Dafa in China and to introduce the cultivation practice to the public. The Chinese Communist Party began persecuting Falun Dafa in July of 1999. It is a particularly severe continuation of the CCP's decades-long suppression of basic human rights, freedom of belief, and freedom of speech. During the event this year, many passersby in Chinatown signed a petition urging elected officials to take action to end the tragedy. That evening, practitioners held a candlelight vigil on the road adjacent to the Chinese embassy in remembrance of practitioners who lost their lives in the persecution. Ian Murray, Minister of State jointly in the Department for Culture, Media and Sport and the Department for Science, Innovation and Technology, wrote a letter to express his support for practitioners' resistance against the persecution. The letter states, "Peaceful vigils such as yours play an important role in bearing witness, maintaining international awareness, and reminding governments of their responsibilities under international law."
Japan, State Organs, the award-winning documentary that exposes the state-sanctioned practice of harvesting organs from living Falun Dafa practitioners in China, was screened in the members' office building of the House of Counselors in the city of Tokyo on Human Rights Day. Mr. Haru Kitamura, member of the House of Counselors, addressed the audience and condemned the systematic organ harvesting in China. He pointed out that there was mounting evidence of these crimes, and the Chinese government hasn't presented any convincing proof against it or agreed with the UN investigation. Mr. Kitamura said, "If I were the judge, this is certainly a conviction." He strongly warned the Japanese people that any organ transplant toward China could cause another person to be murdered. He said that there was an immediate need for legislation. Mr. Kitamura praised Falun Dafa practitioners for their bravery in exposing these crimes, despite risks to their personal safety.
USA. U.S. Senator John Cornyn from Texas wrote to the Southern USA Falun Dafa Association on November 28th to congratulate the Shenyun artist on the 20th anniversary of the founding of the Performing Arts Company. He also thanked the artists for their dedication and excellent. Senator Cornyn said, "This is an accomplishment for which you and your entire organization can be proud." The Falun Dafa Information Center held a human rights fair in Washington, D.C. on December 10th. Practitioners raised awareness of the CCP's 26-year-long persecution of Falun Dafa. A press conference was also held that day at the National Press Club in Washington. Falun Dafa practitioner Sean Lin said in his speech, "Since 1999, over 70 million Falun Gong practitioners have faced systematic repression, more than 5,000 documented deaths, hundreds of thousands of torture cases, and these numbers barely scratch the surface because the regime hides the true scale."
Canada. 65 members of Canada's parliament signed a joint statement that strongly condemns the Chinese Communist Party's 26-year-long persecution of Falun Gong and its escalating transnational repression of practitioners. Canada's Minister of Public Safety expressed his concern about the severity of the transnational repression and its continuing impact on practitioners. He encouraged them to meet with and communicate with government authorities. According to the statement, in 2025, bomb and mass shooting threats were sent to venues hosting Shenyun, a classical Chinese dance company founded by Falun Gong practitioners in four Canadian cities, among over 140 such incidents reported globally. Some of these threats have been traced to sources in China. These acts are part of a broader global CCP-led campaign of sabotage aimed at suppressing Falun Gong and Shenyun.
Bulgaria. The Bulgarian Falun Dafa Association organized events in the capital city of Sofia to raise awareness of the ongoing persecution of practitioners in China during the week of International Human Rights Day. On December 8th, practitioners staged a motorcade displaying banners supporting the theme Stop the CCP from Killing Practitioners for Their Organs. Other banners contained messages about the practice of Falun Dafa. The convoy of 13 cars drove along the main boulevards of Sofia's city center, escorted by the police. The motorcade route included the most important state institutions. The event was covered by a reporter from the online media outlet NewsNow.bg. A tent was set up as an information center for Falun Dafa practitioners in a prominent place. In addition to informational materials, people could sign petitions to support an end to the crimes. The following day, a peaceful appeal was held in front of the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Sofia during the consulate's working hours.
Australia. The Asian Street Food Festival took place in Alexandria Gardens, Melbourne, from December 4th to December 7th. The event featured over 200 delicacies from all over the world and attracted people with many ethnic backgrounds. Falun Dafa practitioners took part in the festivities and appeared on performance stage two times. Their performances included demonstrations of the Falun Dafa exercises, music by the Tianguo Marching Band and waist drum team, plus a dragon dance, fan dance, and ethnic straw hat dance. The performances showcased the beauty and joy of traditional Eastern culture. The evening performance drew a large audience, earning enthusiastic applause and cheers from the spectators.
Finland. The 2025 Finland Falun Dafa Cultivation Experience Sharing Conference was held in Helsinki on December 7, 2025. 14 Falun Dafa practitioners shared their experiences on stage. The conference provided simultaneous interpretation in four languages, Chinese, Finnish, English, and Vietnamese, making it convenient for participants who speak various languages to listen and benefit from the presentations. Some practitioners described how they overcame difficulties after paying attention to studying the Fa. Some shared how they looked within and cultivated themselves during conflicts. Some practitioners described how they followed the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance to correct their words and actions and used every opportunity to introduce Dafa to others and raise awareness of the Chinese Communist Party's persecution.
New Zealand. Four Christmas parades took place in suburban Auckland, Morrinsville, Kapiti Coast, and Upper Hutt of Wellington between December 10th and December 14th. Falun Dafa practitioners were invited to participate. Many colorful images were captured during the events and included the Tianguo Marching Band, a dragon dance, and waist drum team in the Santa Parade and Papa Toto near Auckland on December 10th. The Tianguo Marching Band and practitioners float in the Kapiti Coast Christmas Parade on December 13th. The waist drum team performance in Morrinsville on December 13th, and the Santa Parade in Upper Hutt of Wellington on December 14th. Many spectators said they were impressed by the practitioners' traditional costumes and lively music. People thanked them for their contribution to the community and commended them for Falun Dafa's principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance.
Indonesia. From the end of October to early December this year, practitioners in Indonesia introduced Falun Dafa to government employees in the cities of Tanjung Pinang, Jakarta, and Batam. The initiative was well received. Dr. Gita Kinkana at the Kampung Jabi Community Health Center offered positive feedback. She said, "We can immediately sense the effects of these exercises, which emphasize gentle movements that can be practiced by people of all ages. From these exercises, we learn that health is not just physical. The practice also cultivates the mind and soul to become calmer and more peaceful in line with its values, truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance."
Turkey. Book fair attendees learn the Falandafa exercises at two events in October and November. Practitioners participated in the Ankara City Book Fair from October 5th to the 12th, and more recently at the Mersin City Book Fair from November 22nd to the 30th. Book fairs are very popular in Turkey and attracted thousands of people of all ages and professions. The events present Falandafa practitioners with a great opportunity to introduce Duan Falun, the main book of the practice, as well as the Falandafa exercises.
USA. Falandafa practitioners participated in the La Jolla Christmas Parade in San Diego, California on December 7. They introduced the practice and the upcoming Shenyun Performing Arts performances in the city. This year marked the 69th annual La Jolla Christmas Parade. Falandafa practitioners have participated many times and have won several awards over the years. The event organizers set up several broadcast stations along the parade route to introduce the various participating groups. At one station, after introducing the Falandafa contingent, the host announced, "I've seen Shenyun, and I loved it. It's very beautiful and full of energy."
The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. An 83-year-old woman in Shandong Province passed away in June of this year, shortly after she was released from prison on medical parole. Ms. Miao Xianming was arrested in August 2023 while talking to fellow shoppers at a wholesale market about the CCP's ongoing persecution of her faith, Falun Gong. During a court hearing, her daughter noticed that Ms. Miao was unable to walk on her own, suspecting that she might have been tortured at the detention center. The following day, the judge sentenced Ms. Miao to 2 years and 3 months with a fine of 4,000 yuan. Ms. Miao was admitted to the Shandong Province Women's Prison in the capital of Jinan in September 2023. Due to her poor health, her family applied for medical parole for her several times, but the prison didn't approve it until Ms. Miao was on the verge of death. She died shortly after she returned home.
A 72-year-old man of Chaohu City has nearly died from torture while serving time in prison for his faith in Falun Gong. The details regarding Mr. Yu Qijiang's arrest and prison sentencing are unknown. He has been held in prison since at least 2021. According to insiders, because Mr. Yu remained firm in his faith, the guards tortured him by hanging him up, making him stand for long hours, shocking him with electric batons, and spraying him with pepper water. They also put up posters smearing Falun Gong in the workshop, which he tore down every time he saw them. Instigated by the guards, the inmates once beat and verbally abused him and sprayed him with dozens of bottles of hot pepper water. Several of Mr. Yu's teeth were knocked out during the beating. He had severe injuries on his head and was taken to the hospital for resuscitation in February 2021. Although he survived, he had to remain in the prison hospital for a long time to recover.
A father and daughter in Harbin City were recently sentenced to prison for practicing Falun Gong, while the family matriarch is already serving time for sharing the same faith. Mr. Ying Hongwei received 4.5 years, and his daughter, Ms. Ying Li, received 1 year. Their prison sentence was preceded by Mr. Ying's wife, Ms. Zhao Chunling's wrongful conviction in 2024. Ms. Zhao was arrested in 2023 and sentenced to 3 years. After arresting Ms. Zhao, the police began monitoring Mr. Ying. They harassed him several times, both at work and at home. One day, when Mr. Ying was going to work, several officers arrested him and put a black hood over his head. They then raided his home. His daughter, Miss Ying, in her early 20s, was also arrested. The police searched the home of Mr. Ying's parents and detained his father for several hours. Due to this widespread harassment of their family, his mother was devastated and suffered a heart attack.
After holding a brainwashing session targeting Falun Gong practitioners between June and July 2025, authorities in Huainan City recently organized another session. Police arrested practitioners on their blacklist who have not renounced their faith. When they couldn't find the practitioners, they harassed their families instead. The new session was held at a venue that has a long-term partnership with the authorities. Experts were hired following recommendations by the provincial government to work on the practitioners, threatening to send them to detention centers if they remained firm in their faith. Ms. Sha Shua Mei first encountered harassment in October when she was visiting her son's family to celebrate his newborn baby. She was ordered to record a video smearing Falun Gong and its founder. She refused to comply. Ms. Sha Ziong, 61 years old, was just released in February after serving a 5-year term. She was also arrested in November and taken to the brainwashing session.
German newspaper reports on forced organ harvesting in China. The local edition of the WAZ newspaper in the community of Gelsenkirchen published an article titled, "We Are Turning a Blind Eye to Organ Harvesting" on December 10th, Human Rights Day. Included in the article was an interview of local resident Dr. Andreas Weber, the deputy director of the international human rights organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting. Dr. Weber was quoted as saying, "For years, there have been serious allegations against China for misusing members of minority groups as sources for organs." UN experts stated in 2021 that they had credible information on this, evidence they classify as extremely alarming. The International Society for Human Rights has also repeatedly condemned organ harvesting in China and points out that the origin of tens of thousands of donor organs is completely unclear. Dr. Weber continued, "Our research shows that approximately one person is killed every 30 minutes in China for organ harvesting. However, those affected are not only followers of the Falun Gong movement, which has been banned and persecuted in China since 1999, but also Uyghurs, Tibetans, Muslims, and Christians. The organs of the spiritual group Falun Gong are considered particularly pure, as the movement is known for leading a particularly healthy lifestyle." He emphasized that illegal organ harvesting does not only occur in China and explained, "but there it's state-organized. Elsewhere, it's more a matter of mafia-like structures." The article mentioned the Falun Gong Protection Act, passed in the U.S. House of Representatives and proposed in the U.S. Senate. Dr. Weber said, "This bill, supported by Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, condemns the systematic persecution of Falun Gong practitioners by the Chinese Communist Party and would, among other things, require the U.S. government to provide comprehensive reports on China's organ harvesting policies." Dr. Weber believes that Germany and Europe also have a responsibility. He said, "There are still collaborations between German transplant centers and Chinese institutions. For him, it is clear this cooperation must end until it is independently proven that state-sponsored organ abuse in China has ceased." Dr. Weber said, "For economic interests, we are selling our souls to China and ignoring the fact that people are dying because of it. This imbalance is appalling."
Political leaders from multiple countries condemn the CCP for harvesting organs from Falun Gong practitioners. The organization, Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, held an international seminar on December 9th, during which political leaders and experts from multiple countries gave speeches through video presentations and roundtable discussions on the subject of genocide in China. Those taking part included Member of German Parliament Nicole Hoekstra, Member of Parliament UK Jim Shannon, former Dutch Member of Parliament Harry van Bommel, human rights lawyer David Mattis, and Swedish Member of Parliament Nima Gholam Alipour. Mr. Mattis reminded everyone to remember the nature of the CCP's rule over China, that the Communist Party is most concerned with its own survival as the ruling power of China, and the CCP considers Falun Gong to be the main threat to its continued rule over China. He said that the Chinese Communist Party's large-scale forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners constitutes genocide. Mr. Alipour said, "One of the most powerful nations on earth commits crimes against humanity by forcibly removing people's organs and trading them on the open market. If democratic nations accept this organ trade, then they can no longer credibly claim to stand for human rights." To give true weight to the concept of human rights, more politicians must have the courage to speak about organ trade carried out by the Communist Party of China. If we cannot stand up against such a vile act where a person is stripped of their organs by the state, then we have not earned the right to speak of human rights at all. He said that this situation has been going on for years, where reports existed and the testimonials were numerous, but the silence was deafening. Mr. Alipour said the CCP has used its power to persuade far too many politicians and opinion makers that this is not happening or that it is limited to a few isolated cases. Those who believe the lies of the Chinese Communist Party stand on the wrong side of history. What is happening in China is a test for all of humanity.
Inspired by fellow practitioners in China, practitioners worldwide deepen their understanding of cultivation. The Minghui website posted 90 articles from the 22nd China Fahui, China's annual experience-sharing conference, between November 9th and December 3rd. The articles discuss the experience of practitioners in China in the areas of cultivation, saving sentient beings, and getting rid of human attachments by following the Fa in the harsh environment of persecution. Many Falun Dafa practitioners in Australia said that this Fahui was indispensable to their own cultivation, and they felt as if they were participating in the conference themselves. They were deeply moved by the practitioner's sincerity and firm belief. This thought was echoed by practitioners around the world. Many expressed their gratitude to Minghui and fellow practitioners in China for helping them identify their own shortcomings, reminding them of the seriousness and sacredness of Falun Dafa cultivation, and further deepening their understanding of the importance of righteous thoughts and actions for Falun Dafa disciples at this time in history. Ms. Chen from Perth, West Australia, said she had been listening to the sharing articles on Minghui Radio and was deeply moved by the strong righteous thoughts and compassion demonstrated by fellow practitioners in China. She said, "In the article, Nothing Can Stop Me From Practicing Falun Dafa, the practitioner said that her husband often beat her and abused her violently, and her body was covered with bruises. Once, when her husband started ranting and cursing again, she poured a glass of water and offered it to him, saying, 'Would you like some water? You've been ranting for quite some time and must be thirsty.' When she was feeling extremely wronged and in pain, she was still thinking about others. Since then, her husband has never hit or insulted her. Her kindness resolved a very difficult situation within the family." Miss Zhang in Chicago, Illinois, USA, said, "I was moved when I read the article, 'Looking Within Helps Us Overcome Difficulties, Part 1. It let me realize my fundamental attachment, not wanting to endure human hardships. I thought that being human is hard and tiring without much meaning, so I wanted to cultivate. To some extent, I cultivate to avoid hardship." Miss Zhang realized that the hardships are not for us to just endure passively, but to allow us to improve through the hardship and get rid of attachments. Professor Xie in Atlanta, Georgia said, "I read the articles posted every day during the China Fahui each year. I am touched by their simple and sincere sharing. I admire the authors and feel encouraged. I noted my gaps, realized the greatness of Master and Global Practitioners as a whole body, and felt fortunate to be a member of the group.
Thank you for listening to the Mingwei Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.